All of us had the same experience. That's how Ruth Asawa described the events she depicted on this remarkable memorial that drew much of its imagery from Santa Clara County. It depicts the unjust internment of 120,000 Japanese Americans during World War II, including Ruth's own family. The story begins before the war. As you come up the steps on the right side of the memorial, the first thing you see is a huge ship's prow. Here's Ruth's son, Paul.
There's the ship that her grandmother came to America in, and then they went to Angel Island for processing.
Ruth's mother, Haru, was a picture bride. Her marriage to Ruth's father, who had already emigrated to the U.S., was brokered via photographs. Paul's sister, Addie.
She put in a lot of her biography into this story because it was such a universal story for a lot of the people.
Below is the two-room farmhouse that Ruth's father built.
It was a very stark kind of existence. It was a two-room house. And then the bathhouse was outside. So that was her job as a child, was to keep the fire going, chop the wood for the ofuro, the bath.
You can see a child stoking the bath in the little bathhouse with a couple of kids in the tub. Inside the farmhouse, everyone enjoys a meal together, boots lined up outside. But beyond the fields, to the right, a terrible event takes place.
The FBI comes and takes her father, and she's left with her mother and her older siblings.
Ruth's father is arrested by two FBI men as he kneels in the dirt. To the right, again, there are more heartbreaking scenes. Japanese Americans are forced to leave their homes and businesses and sell what they can. One haunting memory that Ruth included was of the bonfire, where her father burned their Japanese fencing equipment and books so that their loyalty to the United States wouldn't be questioned. People leave for the camps in cars and buses. As for Ruth and her siblings,
her brother drove the car to the Santa Anita racetrack, and they were given Blue Book value, and they went into the camp.
Now we head around to the other side, where there's imagery representing each of the camps, such as a mountain silhouette or unmistakable gun tower. Here, the memorial plunges us into the bleak new world of internment. Toward the left side of the memorial, Japanese American families line up for group meals in a mess hall. Up above is their cramped and dusty housing in endless rows of tar paper barracks. Looming guard towers, huge U.S. soldiers, and barbed wire remind us of the government's total control over their lives. There's no chance of escape. Yet within the camps, Ruth wanted to show that Japanese Americans drew on their inner resources to survive and to make the best of this dire situation. As her daughters Addie and Aiko point out,
her life on the farm was so difficult that it really was the first time she could just draw.
Play baseball. Curl her hair.
Go to school. And she didn't have to work to help support the family, which was what their childhood was.
As we look, we find scenes of kids playing marbles, softball, and volleyball, and drawing and painting. Ruth herself was thrilled to learn from three Disney artists who gave classes to fellow internees at her first camp in California. And when it came to graduation for Rower Camps High School in Arkansas, Ruth drew cartoons of her classmates in the absence of traditional yearbook photos. Years later, she would repeat a similar endeavor at her granddaughter Emma's school.
My grandmother, she came and drew portraits of all of my classmates in our first grade class and made these little bound booklets for everyone.
The memorial story finishes with the grand pillared building in the lower right corner of this side. That's the Supreme Court. Inside are activist Fred Korematsu and others at the U.S. government's formal apology and redress to the Japanese-American community they had wronged. It took the U.S. government over 40 years to formally apologize. As with other Japanese-American families, the Asawas had put the internment behind them after the war, needing to move on and rebuild their lives.
She had never spoken about it to us very much.
But making this memorial finally brought out her memories, good and bad. And as with so many of Ruth's public artworks, she drew in family and friends to help her. Her son Paul worked on it with her, and her daughter Addie did research, collecting the mon, or circular family crests, you see at each end of the memorial. Her friend and fellow artist Nancy Thompson assisted throughout. The dedication of the memorial in 1994 was an emotional moment. Ruth's friend, Susan Stauder.
I remember hearing from far away these taiko drums. It was like the heartbeat of the city. And as you walked closer and closer to the monument, there it was. And it was just incredible. It was so personal and yet so public. And this was part of her genius, too, that we bring our lives to our work.
In the words of activist Fred Korematsu, I have heard people say that they didn't know anything about the internment. Well, here it is. And for those who don't want to talk about it, well, this will talk for them.